see everybody this evening. Glad everybody is here and safe and not out there where it's not too safe. We've been talking about how crazy the weather's been and how it seems like every week and several times a week. So we're blessed. And every time I start to complain about it, I remember it can be a whole lot worse. Is that not right, Lamar? A whole lot worse. We hadn't had any trees, big trees down. We've had a few trees down, but no big trees down, nothing down on the house. And so I hope you hadn't either. And hopefully that's the case when we go home today. So if you looked at your bulletin, you will see that what we're talking about tonight is the fear of God. And the question is, should I fear God? And of course, there's a lot of people that would say today, in today's culture, and today's Christianity, if you will, that no, we should not fear God. God is a loving God, and so we shouldn't do that. Of course, old school way of thinking is that we should fear God. And so, should we fear God or not? Thinking about how we define the fear of God in the Lord's church over the years, something that I've heard over and over again is that the fear of God has to do with the respect of God. So holding him in high regard and high esteem, respecting him, and that's what the fear of God is. And that alone sometimes is what I've heard that the fear of God is. When I think of fearing God, and this is an illustration you've heard before, I've heard it over and over and over again, that of parents. I think of parenthood, you know. I think of my parents. My parents were are great parents. They raised us up to love the Lord. They taught us right from wrong. They loved us. They did right by us. You've met my parents. I love them to death. And so when I think about fearing my parents, yes, there was a very healthy respect for my parents. I held them in high regard and high esteem, if you will. But also, my dad could get that belt off from around his waist in about 1 second. I don't have any idea how he could do that, but man, he could grab that thing and it'd be off just like that. My uncle did the same thing. And so mom, dad was the one to fear and be afraid of, but mom, well, she brought a whole new meaning to and used to wooden spoons. You know, so it's not just used for cooking. Mom could use that in discipline and do a very good job of it. And so when I think about fearing my parents, I do think about respecting them, but I also think about being afraid of them as well, a healthy fear. And my parents were not abusive. And so it wasn't that they abused me and I was afraid of them because maybe I'm going to say something wrong or maybe they're in a bad mood, but it was when I crossed that line. I was a kid. I didn't know what was right and wrong sometimes. Sometimes I did the wrong thing, believe it or not. Chose to do the wrong thing, and so there were consequences for those actions, and so therefore I feared my parents in that way. In the last 20 to 25 years, we've seen a bunch of books published on mainly prayer having to do with this, and this concept of that God is like a buddy. You know, he's just a good friend, he's just a buddy, and that's how we should look at him, that's how we should address him. I like some of those books, I like some of the points that they make. I think there's something to be said to not come to God always in such a systematic way. And I think about some of the prayers when I was growing up that was uttered in a public way, not being judgmental or anything. I think they were beautiful prayers, but sometimes it was the same thing said over and over and over again. And it made you wonder, you know, are they even thinking about what they're saying? And so I think there's something to be said for coming to God and talking to God in a sense. But this idea of he's just my buddy. You know, well, that's not right. I think a lot of that is taken from that Aramaic word Abba, and we've talked about that before. And so it's really a misunderstanding of that word. That word Abba, it means father, but there are some authors, some people out there, some preachers that would say that that word means daddy. It does not mean daddy. It is a word, it is an Aramaic word that children would use to refer to their father, but it literally means father. And it carries with it the idea of also obedience to the Father. I want to encourage you to look that up, man. I did some in-depth study at Father's Day and on that lesson on that. And it was very intriguing. And so it's a false concept to think of God as just being a buddy and a friend and daddy and approaching him in that way. Why? What's wrong with that? Well, it's irreverent. It's disrespectful, is it not? And so tonight what we're going to do is we're asking the question, am I to fear God in a culture today that says, no, God's just a loving God. Don't be afraid of God. Just come to God. But we don't want the other side to where we don't feel like we can come to God. you know, in somewhat of a relaxed way as a father and as I would like come to my father. And so what does it mean to fear God? Should I fear God? And are there any benefits to fearing God? Are there any blessings, if you will, to fearing God? So Psalm 146 is going to be where we're going to be looking first. Then we're going to go to Job and look at him as an example. Then we're going to look at two other passages in Psalms. So Psalm 147, verse 11. Very unusual passage, one that I've heard people say, I don't want to use that, I don't want to read that, let's not talk about that in church. It says, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. Now, like I said, I've talked to people before, and actually one guy in a Bible class that says, let's not even use this scripture. Living in a day and age to where everything's devotional thoughts. You know, we love that, and there's a place for that. And when I'm talking about devotional thoughts, I'm talking about seeing God as our God, our comforter, our guider, you know, giving us peace, giving us strength, passages that are very encouraging, and those are in the Bible also, and they certainly have a place, right? But there are other passages in the Bible that are kind of step on our toes a little bit, and they're hard to understand, and this is one of them. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. Henry and I were talking this past week, and Henry said something about a preacher that was here a number of years ago that said that he didn't want to talk about a certain topic that the Bible talked about. Now, I understand not talking about a biblical topic and maybe a passage at a certain time. There's an appropriate time, and sometimes it's an inappropriate time to talk about something. For instance, back in 2020, COVID hit. We're 3 or 4 weeks into that. We're doing like everybody else. We're watching online. We have our online service at East Colbert, but Steph and I would watch 2-3 other services, sometimes 4 or 5 other services. And I remember going and watching this, and I know the preacher there, and watching him, and this is like 3 weeks into it, and his lesson was on church organization. And it was on talking about deacons and elders and different things like that. Is that something biblical? Yes, it is. Is that something we need to teach about and need to know? Well, absolutely. Was that all I could think is, of all the things to talk about during this time, you're going to talk about church organization. I mean, really. Everybody's scared out of their mind right now. We don't know how bad COVID's going to be. And so there's passages that talk about the peace of God, about the guidance of God, about how God will not leave us or forsake us. You know, there's all kinds of different subjects that you could talk about for that appropriate time. So y'all understand what I'm saying? There's an appropriate time to talk about something. There's inappropriate times. However, we should never come to a passage of God's Word or a topic that the Bible addresses and say, that's kind of harsh. I think that I'll just disregard that. You know, God makes it very plain here that he doesn't have a problem with us fearing him. And so he says that here in this passage. And so why do I want to fear God? Look at two things in this passage. Why do I want to fear God? Number one, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. And so God takes pleasure in us fearing him. Now, is that a twisted way of thinking, kind of like a bully? You know, that like a bully gets his kicks out of making someone afraid. No, here it's talking about respect, and it's talking about putting him in his proper place and respecting. And so it says that God takes pleasure in somebody. He is God. He's creator. He's sustainer. He's our savior. He's all powerful. And so recognizing him as such, putting him in his rightful place and respecting him, he says that he takes pleasure in that. So first and foremost, I should fear God and respect him because he is God, and it pleases him for me to do that. But then secondly, looking at this passage, it says, in those who hope in his mercy. And so to hope in his mercy is basically to understand that I'm lost without his mercy. Can I be saved without it? Absolutely not. I have to have his mercy to be saved. And so what it's talking about here is for us to recognize the simple fact that we need the Lord to be saved. To recognize that and to look at him as our Savior. So in this particular passage, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about respect and honoring, putting him in his rightful place. Now, we'll talk more in just a little bit about some other things that it means, but let's look at Job. Job chapter 1. Job is a prime example of this because Job is described as one who feared God, and Job was a righteous man as well, and so he's a good example to try to understand why exactly did he fear God and what did that mean, because Satan tries to twist it basically here. Job 1 and verse 1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and the man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil." If you skip down to verse 8, you see that he even describes, God describes him in this way to Satan. And so, God, how would you describe a righteous man? Well, one of the of all the things that he could have used to describe Job, this righteous man, one of the main things is that he fears God. And so God finds pleasure in those that hold him in proper esteem. Now, Satan, in response to this, notice what he says in verse 9 and 10. This is Satan's idea. Now, Satan is wise. He is smart, okay? More so than what we give him credit for. And so you can see his way of thinking here in verse 9 and 10, and I think that we tend to think this way as well. And what I'm challenging us this evening is this a correct way to think when it comes to respecting God and fearing God? Verse 9 and 10, "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing, for no reason at all? Well, have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land.'" And so Satan is looking at Job, and he's saying, he's seeing a beautiful family, he's seeing all these material blessings, and he's saying, of course he respects God, of course he fears God, of course he holds him in high regard, because look at what all he has given him. Now that just stands to reason, right? If someone blesses you, then you're going to respect them, think a lot of them. I think about when my kids were little and I worked long shifts at Trico Steel a long time ago. And I can remember working 10 and 12 hour shifts there and coming home real late at night, and the kids were real little, and I missed the whole day, and I would go in their bedroom sometimes and I would just kiss them on the head. And I would thank God for them. I was so delighted that I was a father, you know, and I would thank God for them. And my mindset is that I must owe God something because he has blessed me so very much. He's given me these two beautiful kids, and so, of course, ended up being more than that, but at the time, two beautiful kids, and so I must owe him something for that, you know? And so sometimes we think like that. Now, I think that is what he's basically saying here. It's kind of, in a sense, thinking of God as his blessings as a paycheck, you know? As long as you bless me, God, as long as you give me everything that I want, or as long as you give me things that I really like children, then I will honor you, I will respect you, I will worship you. But if those things are taken away, or I don't have those things, then deal off, right? Have you known people like that? I think we've all known people like that worship God, they belong to God, a child of God. And so they feared God and respected God when they were being blessed, and then all of a sudden something bad happened in their life, and they blamed God for that all of a sudden. And all of a sudden their faith is shaken or even completely destroyed, and they walk away from God. God, as long as you bless me, then I'll fear you, I'll respect you, I'll honor you, I'll worship you. But then you take these blessings away, and then the deal is off. That's exactly what Satan is saying about Job here. He's saying the whole reason why he fears you, respects you, honors you, is because you've given him everything. Now, here's the question I want us to consider, because we all go through difficult times. Is God worthy of our respect, of our fear is the word that is being used here, and of our honor and of our worship, even if we're not blessed with all of these different things that he blesses us with? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And so Job is a prime example of that. And Job proves all throughout this whole ordeal that he respects God, that he honors God, he fears God, not because of all the blessings that God gives him, but because of who God is, and that he's worthy of respect, that he's worthy of his fear, of his adoration, of his love, of his worship. And so we see that throughout the account of Job. Now, let's turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. And ask the question, is there blessings in fearing God, in respecting God, in living in that way? Psalm 115. And then we'll go to Psalm 25 after that. So Psalm 115, beginning with verse 11, the question is, there blessings to fearing God? Notice what it says. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those. Now you think, we're not Israel. We're not of the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. Is there blessings to fearing God? Is there blessings to respecting Him? Is there blessings to holding Him in high esteem, even when we're not blessed and getting the things that we want? Well, it says here, it's not just for the house of Israel and Aaron, but also for all of us who fear Him, it says that He will help us. I don't know about you, but I need some help, right? He says that He will help us. I don't know in what all ways, but of course He guides us. He gives us peace and He gives us understanding. He gives us a calm. He helps us in all kinds of ways. It says that He is a shield for us. And so that has to do with protecting us, keeping us safe. And then it says that He blesses us. And blessing us can mean a lot of different things, but they're all good things. He blesses us. So I would say, yes, there's definitely blessings, of course, in fearing God. Now, look at Psalm 25. Psalm 25. And the same idea here, answering that question, is there blessings to fearing God? Psalm 25, verse 12 through 14, I believe, answers that with yes, absolutely. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity. Another translation says goodness. It's a better translation. Prosperity makes us think about wealth, and he's not talking about wealth. He's talking about his goodness and his blessings, which is not always wealth, but it can be sometimes. And his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Now, when it's talking about the secret of the Lord, it's talking about his counsel and his guidance. And so you think about, this has to do with looking at authority. Just like looking at God, how we look at authority makes all the difference in the world. So if I look at authority in a way that I respect them, then I can be taught, right? If I respect authority, then I can be taught. And then there's goodness that can come from that. There's also blessings and also instruction that can come from that as well. Well, the same is true with God, right? So if I respect him, I put him in his rightful place, then I can be blessed because of that. I can be taught his will and have his guidance throughout my life, which is a tremendous blessing, right? And that's what he's talking about here. So let's conclude this section by saying, let's fear God because I desire his instruction and his guidance. Let's fear God because I want his blessings. And let's maybe, first and foremost, let's fear God because he's God. Because he's God. I need to respect him. I need to hold him in high respect and high regard because of who he is and what he has done. So yes, I should fear God. Now, let's continue to think about fear God. Does it just mean respect? I don't think so. Going back to the example of my parents, I can remember going to Grant Street Church of Christ, Dad being associate minister there, and every now and then I'd get into a little bit of trouble, and I can remember that was about a 20-minute drive home living out in Lawrence County. And I can remember Dad telling me, or sometimes Mom telling me, that when you get home, you're getting it. And the whole way home, man, you want to talk about a long drive. I'd be crying the whole way home because I knew when I got home what I was going to get. Now, is that just a respect for Dad? Absolutely not. I was afraid of Dad and what was going to happen. Now keep in mind, it wasn't because Dad was mean and a bully. It's because I crossed a line somewhere and I deserved what I was about to get. Okay? What about that kind of fear with God? Should there be a sense of being afraid of him? Well, absolutely. Absolutely. The Bible teaches that. So a couple of passages on that. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. You know very well. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to give an account of what we've done in the body, both good and bad. But notice what it says in verse 11, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. In the context, he's talking about judgment and how we're all going to answer for how we have behaved in this life, knowing that and knowing the fear of the Lord, in other words, how mighty and powerful God is, then we persuade men. This is evangelistic. We need to be telling people about God and that they're going to be held accountable one day for how they've lived this life, right? That is a healthy being afraid, okay? That kind of fear of God, is it not? That is something also that we need to do. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 is also a passage that talks about this. Hebrews 12 and verse 28, that'll be the last one for this evening. And there it talks about God being a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire, and it has to do with the way that I live my life, knowing that He is a consuming fire. And so I need to fear God. The fear of God there, the fear of the Lord there, is being afraid of the consequences of sinful actions. And yes, that is a part of fearing God. So we should fear God because He created us. He sustains our life. And so, yes, we need to respect that. No other being out there has done that. So let's respect Him. He's our friend, you know, but He's not just a buddy. He needs to be held in high regard and respected, right? Let's respect Him for who He is. Let's respect Him for what He has done. But let's fear Him if we live in sin or not found to be in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Then there's certainly a fear there. I don't want to go to eternal damnation. And I know that you do not as well. There's not a good healthy fear of that in the world today. And there's not a good healthy fear of that even in the church today. We water down everything. You know, I think we need to preach about love because that's what the gospel's all about. For God so loved the world that He gave Jesus Christ to us. By all means, let's talk about good, encouraging things that are uplifting, thought-provoking, and the love of God, but not to the exclusion of the things that are also fearful that we need to be mindful of that hopefully will keep us straight and in line. Amen? So tonight, look at your life. Let there be a healthy fear of the hereafter if you're not right with God. And let that fear lead you to repentance. Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. If we can help you with that tonight, let us know. We'll sing this song for our encouragement.